takot, or fear. Ito isang natural human response to perceived danger or threat. There are a lot of things that strike fear in the hearts ng mga expats dito sa Dubai. At isa na po rito is yung COVID-19 pandemic. Bukod sa takot na mahawaan tayo at pwede natin ikasawi, minsan mas nangingibabaw ang takot natin na mahawaan ang ating mga mahal sa buhay sa Pilipinas. Malayo tayo sa kanila at hindi tayo basta-basta makauwi upang alagaan sila. Kaya ganun na lang siguro ang pag-alala natin at takot. Nandun din po yung takot natin sa ating job security. These past weeks, I've spoken to many of our members at ang recurring fear at anxiety na madalas bumabalot sa puso ng karamihan ay ang takot na mawala ng trabaho o ang takot na kung saan hindi sila makakuha ng trabaho. And I perfectly understand that. Dahil para sa ating mga expats, bukod sa nakasalalay ang pambayad ng utility bills at iba pang mga pangailangan natin sa ating kinikita, nakasalalay din po dito ang ating mga visa, ang ating family visas, health insurances, pambayad sa mga liabilities at ang regular na remittances na pinapadala natin every month sa mga mahal natin sa Pilipinas. So I perfectly understand kung mababawasan o matatanggalan tayo ng trabaho, talagang sigurado malaki ang effect neto sa mga recipients. Bukod pa po sa mga ito, meron din mga fears sa iba sa atin na baka hindi na makapagpangasawa, hindi na magkaroon ng anak, fear na baka iwan tayo ng mga mahal natin sa buhay, fear of being alone, fear of our past experiences na baka maulit-ulit, or fear of the future and its potential concerns. There are a lot of things that strike fear sa hearts natin. Pero alam nyo ba, sa lahat ng pwedeng panggalingan ng takot ng mga disciples si Jesus Christ, sa Kanya sila natatakot? At yan po ang titingnan natin ngayong hapon na ito sa ating passage as we continue our sermon series in the Gospel according kay Mark. And we will pick it up from where we have left it last year, which is yung last part ng chapter 4 ng Book of Mark. Now, just to give you a little background, John Mark is the one who wrote ng gospel account na ito. John Mark was a gifted writer and a translator na kung saan pinili ni Peter to be his personal translator. Sinulat ni John Mark itong unang gospel sa mga naalala niyang preaching at kwento ni Apostle Peter. So si Peter po ang eyewitness sa libro na ito. At isinulat niya ito sa mga Roman believers or Gentile Christians na kung saan hindi masyado pamilyar sa mga Jewish customs at saka practices. Pero sinisikap niya i-familiarize sila upang maunawaan nila ang dahilan kung bakit si Jesus Christ ay dumating at namatay para sa mga kasalanan. Sa ating mga napag-aralan last year, we saw Jesus began his ministry by preaching the kingdom of God and urging everyone to repent from their sins and believe the gospel that he preaches. Many were amazed sa kanyang teaching and he considered him as one who thought with authority. Everywhere he goes, great crowds followed him. His teachings were mostly followed up by signs and wonders. Meron na miraculous healing. Marami na ho siyang pinagaling. Marami din mga tao na kung saan napalayas dahil na sila po ay nasaniba ng masasamang espiritu. So because of that, a lot of people almost everywhere were following him, wanting to hear his teaching, wanting to be healed by Jesus, wanting to be free from demon possession. So Jesus became very, very popular. He demonstrated his authority over sickness and spirits. Ngayong hapon na ito, we will once again see Jesus' authority exercised. But this time, he will exercise his authority over the elements, over nature, proving that Jesus is Lord over all. He is completely worthy of all our trust. Jesus is Lord over all. He is completely worthy of all our trust. We have divided this passage into three headings. Number one, a great storm, verses 35 to 37. Number two, a great calm, verses 38 to 39. And number three, a great fear, verses 40 to 41. Let's jump right into ating point number one, a great storm. Look at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Mapapansin natin na ang Gospel of Mark, lalo na sa passage po ito, ay very particular ang manunulat sa mga details ng istorya. Ang pagpunan niya sa oras ng kaganapan sa verse 35, ang presensya ng mga tao sa kapaligiran sa verse 36, at sa tipo ng higaan na tinulugan ni Jesus Christ sa verse 38, ay masasabi natin na nasaksihan mismo ni Peter ang kaganapang ito. Si Peter mismo ay personally nandoon sa pangyayaring ito. Kaya ganoon na lang po ang details na kanyang nalalagay. Look at verse 35 again. That day when evening came, let's stop right there. This tells us that chapter 4 at ang mga pangyayari dito ay considered as one whole day. At ang naunang part ng chapter 4, we see Jesus preaching series of parables. And towards the end of that, dyan ito po yung ating passage. Nung kumagat po yung dilim, niyaya na ni Jesus Christ ang kanyang disciples na tumawid sa kabilang ibayo, sa east side ng Sea of Galilee. Kasi nandun po sila nakastation sa west side ng Sea of Galilee. Hindi nabanggit ni Mark ang dahilan kung bakit nagyaya si Jesus Christ para pumunta ho ron sa kabilang side. But we can say na marahil napagod siya sa buong araw niya ng ministry, ng pagtuturo, and maybe he wanted time away from the crowd upang makapagpahinga po siya. And true to it, mapapansin po natin that to be accurate sa following verse. But we also need to remember that Jesus was on a mission. At lahat ng kanyang galaw at ay kalkulado at intentional. And so his main purpose kung bakit niya gusto mawid sa kabila is to preach the gospel to the people sa lugar na yon. I think we can refer yung Mark chapter 1 verse 38 na kung saan sinabi niya yung purpose kung bakit siya palipat-lipat ng lugar preaching. Sabi ni Jesus Christ sa Mark chapter 1 verse 38, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for this is why I came." So Jesus was intentional. He knows his time, he knows his timetable, and so he knows he needs to preach sa east side ng Sea of Galilee. Look, go back to chapter 4 and let's read verse 36. Sabi po dyan, "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them." Again, we see an eye for details dito sa event na ito. Umaalala natin sa chapter 4 verse 1, bago magturo si Jesus Christ, nasa beach po siya, yung buong crowd ay dinudumog po siya. Gusto siyang hawakan, gusto siyang kausapin, and people are just talagang dinudumog siya. So what Jesus did is inutusan niya yung mga disciples niya, kumuha na isang bangka at dun siya nagstay at nagturo sa loob mismo ng bangka at tinulak ng konti, little bit far away from the shore. So parang ito yung naging floating pulpit niya. Doon siya nagturo ng parables the whole day. So nung sinabi ni Mark sa verse 36 that they took him alongside just as he was, means na hindi siya pinababa ng mga disciples para lumipat sa kabilang bangka. Hindi po yun yung ang ibig sabihin ng passage nito. Ang ibig sabihin po nito, after magturo ni Jesus Christ ng parables the whole day, pinaandaran ng disciples ang bangkang sinasakyan niya in order puntahan yung destination na ninanais na puntahan ni Jesus Christ. At mapapansin po din natin dito sa details na hindi lamang sila yung bangka na lumulutang papunta sa east side ng Sea of Galilee. Meron din mga ibang bangka na nakapaligid. Marahil ito yung grupo sa chapter 3 na laging sumusunod kay Jesus Christ. Probably some of them are yung disciples din ni Jesus Christ, mga followers ni Jesus Christ. Yung masasabi natin yung outer group ng disciples ni Jesus Christ aside sa 12. Now, as Jesus and the 12 disciples calmly navigates their way towards the eastern side ng lake, biglang naantala ang kanilang mapayapang lakbayin. At makikita po ito sa verse 37. Sabi ho dyan, a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. May naengkwentro isang silang bagyo, isang malakas na bagyo. Na hindi po ito yung bagyo na may halong ulan ano, na kung saan na madalas po natin ma-experience. Hindi po, ang tawag po rito ay windstorm. Ayon sa mga eksperto ho sa lugar, sa area na ito, common daw ito sa Sea of Galilee. Ang Sea of Galilee ay nakaposition po na parang planggana or basin na kung saan nakapalibot po sa kanya yung mga matataas na hills at saka matataas na mountains. At doon din po may mga narrow valleys na kung saan nagsisilbi na parang wind tunnel na kung saan humahampas sa Sea of Galilee. Ang pagsalubong po ng malamig na hangin na galing sa kabundukan at ang malinsangan na hangin na nagmumula po sa Sea of Galilee ay pag nagsama po yan at nagsalubong produces windstorms. At ito ang naengkwentrong klaseng bagyo ni Jesus Christ at ng kanyang mga disciples. Sa lakas ng hangin na produce nito, bigla ho nagkaroon ng malalaking alon yung tubig na kung saan na dinadaanan ng mga disciples. I could have imagined na napupuno din ng tubig yung kanilang bangka. And sooner or later, the disciples are in the middle of a very strong storm. Now, pansinin po natin, ang dahilan po kung bakit ang mga disciples ay nasa ganitong klaseng panganib at mabigat na sitwasyon ay hindi dahil sila ay sumusuway sa salita ng Diyos. Hindi dahil sila ay tumatalikod sa kalooban ng Diyos. As a matter of fact, it is quite the opposite. Sumunod sila sa salita ng Diyos, specifically sa utos ng Panginoon Hesukristo. Sila ay lumalakad sa direksyon o literally sila po ay sumasagwan papunta sa direksyon na ninanais ng Panginoon Hesukristo. So, balikan po natin ang verse 35. Sabi po dyan, ni Jesus Christ, let us go over to the other side. Parang sinasabi ni Jesus Christ, pupunta tayo dyan ngayon sa kabila kasi doon ang susunod na gawain. Yun ang gusto ko puntahan. Doon ang kalooban ng Panginoon. So let us go. At wala na pong tanong-tanong. Hindi na nagdalawang isip. Agad-agad na sumunod ang mga disciples sa Kanya. Okay? Agad-agad po sila kahit nag-sagwan papunta ron, kahit pagod na, kahit medyo madilim dahil paggabi na po, kahit gutom na sila. Kahit alam natin na medyo may kalayuan po yung sasagwan nila papunta sa east side, right around 11 kilometers roughly papunta po ron. At isa pa, this is a Gentile region. Again, you know Jews and Gentiles, hindi ho magkasundo yan. So, makikita po natin na hindi nila kinestyon. So far, so good. Good job, disciples. They were in the place where God wants them to be and they obeyed. They have all the reasons to say no or pwede nila sabihin, pagbabukas na lang natin, Jesus, para maliwarag at nakapagpahinga tayo. Pero hindi nila sinabi yun. Nila pinaglaban yun. So, sinunod nila. They probably have no idea why they're going there sa oras na yun at sa kalagayan po nila. But they followed Jesus and then they've encountered a life-threatening storm. They were caught in a difficult situation not because they were disobedient to the words of Jesus, but because they were. Friends, this is a good reminder for those of us who are following Jesus. Na hindi po nangangahulugan na kapag tayo po ay tapat na sumusunod kay Jesus at lumalakad ayon sa kalooban niya, ay tayo po ay magkakaroon ng trouble-free life. Na tayo po ay makakadevelop ng immunity po sa malabagyong mga suliranin na pwede natin harapin sa buhay. Hindi po. And God, in accordance to His sovereign good purposes, leads His people to storms, leads His people to hardships, lead His people to situations to allow them to see if they truly fear Him. for them to see if they truly trust Him, for them to see if they truly have faith in Him. Mga kaibigan, maari kaya nilagay ka ng Diyos sa malabagyo mong suliranin sa oras na ito upang makita mo kung tunay nga na may takot ka sa Kanya? Kung tunay nga ba na nagtitiwala ka sa Kanya? Kung tunay nga bang ikaw ay sumasampalataya sa Kanya? One thing's for sure, ang bagyong kinaharap ng mga disciples ni Jesus Christ exposed the true dispositions of their hearts. The way they panic in the midst of the storm tells us what they believe about kay Jesus Christ. At mas makikita natin ito sa susunod na passage as we go to our second point. From great storm, here comes a great calm. Balikan po natin yung senaryo ng bagyo. Napakalakas ng windstorm na ito. Ang hangin ay humahagupit sa layag or sail ng bangka na halos marahil ay napupunit na niya ito. Tapos meron pang mga malahiganting mga alon na humahampas sa bangka na halos itaumpo sila at halos mabiyak na ang bangka na ito. So I could have imagined itong bangka na ito ay halos napupuno na po ng tubig. Okay? The disciples probably were doing all that they can to stabilize yung boat. Siguro iba sa kanila, binababa na nila yung sail, tapos yung iba naman sa kanila nagtatanggal ng tubig sa bangka, while some of them probably are rowing their way to safety. They're doing all they can, probably, just to survive. At sa lahat ng pangyayaring ito, ito yung biggest question, marahil nila. Nasaan si Jesus? Well, I know kung nasaan si Jesus kasi nakalagay sa verse 38 kung nasaan si Jesus. Sabi sa first part of verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Natagpuan nila si Jesus sa likuran bahagi ng bangka, nakahiga sa ibabaw ng isang una na nakabaluktot at mahimbing na natutulog. Now, this situation tells us a lot about Jesus. Tells us about a lot about Jesus. Well, first of all, it tells us that Jesus is truly man. Truly man. Isa sa tunay na tao. Of course, hindi ito pala isipan sa mga disciples during that time. Pero sa side ng timeline natin, where we have the full copy ng canon of scripture, in our Bible tells us that Jesus is God incarnate. So ano ibig sabihin ng God incarnate? Ano ibig po sabihin ng God incarnate? Diyos na nagkatawan tao. Jesus is truly God. And in this passage, we will see that Jesus is truly man. Makikita po natin dyan. Pero pambihira, paano nakatulog si Jesus sa ganitong klaseng kalagayan? Paano nakatulog si Jesus sa weather conditions na ito? I remember a few years ago, after having a long week of ministry dito sa Dubai, I rushed to the airport kasi lilipad ho ako papuntang Pilipinas to speak at a pastor's conference. After going through yung heavy traffic sa Terminal 3, mahabang lakad papunta sa gate na kung saan naka-assign sa akin, and a long queue pasakay ng Airbus, I finally got to my seat. Pag-upo ko po, sabi ko sa sarili ko, siguro ipipikit ko muna yung mata ko para mapahinga lang siguro ang aking mga mata. And to my surprise, pagdilat ko po, napansin ko, ibang mga tao, dahan-dahan akong bumababa, bit-bit yung kanilang mga hand carry. So parang nalilito ako sa nangyayari. So I asked yung katabi kong mama, sabi ko, sir, ano nangyayari dito? Ba't nagbababa yung mga pasero? Ah, wala yan sir, nagbababa lang yan kasi yung dito talaga yung stopover na aeroplano, nandito na tayo sa Cebu. Ayan, mga taga Cebu. Yan. Ah, nagulat ako. Teka lang, sa Cebu na tayo? Sabi niya, oo. Sa sobrang pagod ko po, hindi ko namalayan na nakatulog na ako ng 8 hours straight. So hindi ko alam na nasa Cebu na kami. Hindi ko napansin na nag-take off ang eroplano, hindi ko napansin yung announcements ng purser, hindi ko napansin yung mga meals na sinerve, which is yung madalas kong inaabangan. At pag-land ng plane, hindi man ako natinag. I was so exhausted, hindi ko namalayan kung ano na nangyayari. I was so tired and I was sleeping peacefully. Now Jesus, because he was truly man, totoo pong napagod siya sa buong araw ng ministry of teaching. Totoo pong nakatulog siya. Hindi po siya yung nagtutulog-tulugan na parang ginagawa natin nung bata tayo, nung pinapatulog natin ng mga magulang natin sa hapon at dumidilat pa tayo at sinisilip kung nandun pa sila. Hindi po. Hindi po siya nagtutulog-tulugan. He was really sleeping. Malalim ang kanyang tulog. He slept peacefully in the midst of the storm. Amazing. So the first reason why he slept, because he was tired. And that's an evidence na siya nga ay tunay na tao. Second reason, ang pangalawang dahilan why he can sleep peacefully in the midst of the storm, it's because he fully trusted God. He fully trusted God. He has full confidence in Yahweh. This is such a great contrast sa panic mode na ginagawa ng mga disciples. Sa una, the disciples were trying to manage the situation using all their wits, their experiences, and available means. They thought they had control of the situation, but to their dismay, they quickly realized that the circumstance is beyond their control. Lahat ng kailangan, lahat ng kanilang nalalaman, lalo na ng mga kasama nilang bihasang mangingista, were not sufficient sa kanilang circumstance. They were not expecting this. They were not ready for this. They panicked. They panicked. Friends, does this remind us of us? Kapag tayo po ay nakainkwentro ng malabagyong suliranin sa ating buhay, we thought that we can manage the situation using our wits, our experiences and skills, and available resources. At gagawin po natin ang lahat ng kakayanin natin para marisolbahan lang ang problema. Thinking sa sarili natin, na kaya ko to. Wala kayang kaya ko to. May pera pa kami, kaya okay pa kami. Maraming tutulong sa amin. Kasi marami kaming tinulungan nung kami ay nasa kaginhawaan pa. Sa kalibre at karanasan ko, maraming kumpanya mag-uunahan sa akin para i-hire ako. Malakas naman ang resistensya ko. Hindi ako tatablan ng COVID-19 na yan. Maraming nagmamahal sa akin o mahal na mahal ako ng taong ito. Walang iwanan ang relasyon na ito. And because of our illusion of self-sufficiency, we thought we can remedy our situation by our own strength, by our own wits, apart from God. But God, in His kindness and patience to us, leads us to storms that we cannot weather, leads us to hardships that we cannot resolve, in order for us to see that we are not self-sufficient, that we have more faith in ourselves and in other things rather than God. And so, pagdating ng mga mabibigat na suliranin sa ating buhay na hindi na natin alam ang ating gagawin, the only option that we have is to panic. Gaya ng mga disciples. We panic kapag naubos na ang pera natin at naiwanan tayo ng limpak-limpak na utang. We panic kapag ang mga inaasahan natin na mga tutulong sa atin ay nakalimot sa atin. We panic kapag wala nang kumukuha na kumpanya sa atin. Kung meron man, babaratin ang ating sweldo. We panic if our health starts to fail. We panic if the people, the person who we love the most, are the very people who abandoned us, betrayed us, left us, died on us. You know, itong passage na ito, probably you have heard so many sermons preached already. And siguro, yung mga napakinggan po nating sermon, ang application po sounds something like this. Since God, since Jesus can calm the storm, He can also calm all the storms of your life. Or, no storm in our life is too powerful for Jesus to handle. Yan siguro yung nakikita, madalas natin marinig na application sa passage na to. And part of it, I would say, I agree that Jesus can calm the storms in our lives. Pero that is far from the point ng passage na ito. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus who led them to the storm. It was Jesus who brought the storm to them. Remember yung sinabi sa verse 35, let us go across to the other side. He's the one who orchestrated this. He's the one who led them to the eye of the storm. Why? Why, Jesus? Well, because the storm will expose what they truly rely on. This storm will reveal if they truly know Jesus. This storm will truly reveal if they trust His Word. Friends, in the midst of hardships you are facing right now, do you trust God enough to rest? Do you trust that God's Word is enough for you to sleep well in the night? Or maybe sa pagharap mo po sa suliranin ng buhay mo ngayon, let me ask you this. Do you think you're relying too much on your own skills and abilities? Let us be reminded by the psalmist nung siya ay nasa kalagitnaan ng kaguluhan. Sabi sa Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. Why? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Mga kaibigan, kung kayo ay may pinagdadaanan na mabibigat na suliranin ngayon, nakakatulog ka pa ba? For those who find their peace in Christ, pwede tayo magkaroon ng mahimbing na tulog. For those of us who puts their confidence in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, can sleep in the midst of the storm. Ang mga disciples, pagkatapos nilang mag-rely sa sarili nilang kakayanan at nung hindi na nila namang gagawin, that they came to their wits and ikanga, lahat ng kanilang mga resources, lahat ng mga kanilang kayang gawin ay lahat ay hindi umuubra. What did they do? Kagaya ng pagkita natin, they panicked. They panicked really bad. At ano ang kanilang reaction? Well, tingnan natin ang kanilang reaction by comparing other gospel accounts. Okay? So let's compare yung reactions nila sa Luke at saka Matthew. Tingnan natin yung reaction ng disciples sa pagkakasulat ni Matthew, sa Matthew 8:25. So yung paraan ng pagkakagawa ni Matthew rito, parang yung ginawang approach ng mga disciples is parang prayer or nananalangin. Sabi dyan, save us, Lord, we are perishing. So it's a form of a prayer. Medyo sinoffin niya ng konti. Samantalang si Luke naman, sa chapter 8, verse 24, yung approach ng ginawa niya is parang nakikiusap, parang pleading. Master, Master, we are perishing. Well, bakit magkakaibang mga sinasabi rito, Pastor? Hindi bang piyano na ba sinasabi ko? So, Bible, hindi consistent. No, I don't think that was the case. Ang dahilan kung bakit magkakaiba sila sa kanilang mga response, kasi ito yung mga kanilang naaalala. Ayon sa karanasan na yon, ayon sa event na yon. Yun ang kanilang nasaksihan, yun ang kanilang naaalala na naririnig. Marahil sa taranta ng bawat isa, isabay-sabay lahat sila nagsisigaw nung humihingi ng tulong kay Jesus. Kung ano yung naalala nilang sinabi, siguro yun ang sinulat nila. Pero pansinin natin kung papaano nag-respond ang disciples pagdating sa account ni Mark. Tingnan niyo po sa verse 38 sa second part. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Pansin niyo yung tone? Ang tone po niya dito ay parang pa-rebuke. Ang tone po niya dito parang pabalang. Mas intense. Mas ramdam na ramdam ang frustration. May pagka-demanding. I have a feeling na marahil siguro this describes yung character ni Peter. Kasi Peter is always impulsive. I think this is Peter na nagsasalita kay Jesus Christ. But remember, this is his account. So, ibang klase ang tone. So, parang ang tunog ng tone na ito, "Panginoon, wala ka bang pakialam sa amin kahit mamatay kami dito? Hindi mo ba kami tutulungan? Matagal na kami nag-aantay, ba't hindi kami tulungan? Hindi na namin alam ang gagawin. Bakit mo kami hinahayaan? Panginoon, bakit ka nananahimik? Nasaan ka na? Bakit ka natutulog?" You could have imagined yung tone na yun, ano? Malamang pasigaw yan because maingay yung bagyo. Stress na sila. Ah, nagpapanik na sila. "Panginoon, bakit mo kami pinababayaan?" Yun ang sinasabi niya. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Ano ba tulong ang hinahanap ng mga disciples nito kay Jesus Christ? Honestly, hindi ko alam kung anong klaseng tulong ang hinahanap nila kay Jesus Christ. Siguro, kahanap sila ng tulong ng magtatanggal ng tubig siguro sa loob ng bangka, o siguro they were expecting something miraculous. I don't know. Pero one thing's for sure, they feel na hindi tumutulong si Jesus Christ. Habang lahat sila ay kumikilos. This, my friends, exposed kung ano talaga ang nasa puso ng mga disciples. First, they doubted Jesus' word. Pinagdudahan nilang salita ng Diyos, ni Kristo. Tingnan sa verse 35 again. Sabi ni Jesus Christ, "Let us go to the other side." Yun ang very words ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang disciples. Hindi niya sinabi, "Pumunta tayo ron at siguradong hindi kayo aabot dun sa, dahil sa kalagitnaan ng biyahe, ilulunurin ko kayo." Hindi naman niya sinabi yun eh. Sabi niya, "We will go to the other side." Pero anong ginawa nila? Pinagdudahan nila yung salita ng Diyos. Kasi ano po nangyayari dito? Ang ginawa ni Jesus Christ is Jesus gave them assurance by giving them His Word. But they doubted God's Word. They doubted Jesus' Word. Second, yung ginawa nila, they doubted yung assurance of Jesus' care for them. Kinwestiyon nila ang pag-ibig ni Kristo sa kanila. Kinwestiyon nila yung care ni Jesus sa kanila. They felt abandoned by Jesus and the disciples made it known sa kanilang words. Mga kaibigan, hindi ba totoo din to sa atin? Totoo din to sa atin eh. Kapag tayo nakaharap sa isang sulilanin, parang tayo mga disciples, nakakalimot tayo sa salita ng Diyos. Ang gagawin po natin, gagawa tayo ng iba't ibang klaseng paraan at solusyon ayon sa ating talino, ayon sa ating lakas at kapamamaraanan. At ang masakit pa rito, kadalasan po yung mga kapamamaraanan natin ay mga taliwas pa ayon sa salita ng Diyos. At kapag na-exhaust na natin ang lahat ng ating resources and ideas and networks at ganun pa rin ang sitwasyon, wala pa rin improvement, anong gagawin natin? Lalapit tayo sa Panginoon at sasabihin natin, "Panginoon, bakit mo kami pinabayaan? Panginoon, bakit pinarurusahan mo kami?" Listen, when we are consumed by the concerns of this world, we are quick to doubt God's word or even forget to seek counsel from God's people. So that's what we do. We forget. We doubt God's word. Second, we also doubt yung pag-ibig ng Diyos sa atin. We doubt His love and concern and care for us. Like the disciples who said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Lord, wala ka bang pakialam kahit mabaong kami sa utang dito na wala kaming pambayad? Lord, wala ka bang pakialam na hindi makakapag-aral this year si Junior dahil wala kaming pera? Lord, bakit hirap na, kinialam mo na ng cancer ang katawan ng aking asawa? Wala ka bang pakialam? Isipin mo si Jesus nung sinabi ng disciples sa kanya na, "Don't you care?" I gotta imagine Jesus Christ looking at the disciples sa mata. Okay? And nung sinabi na lang yon, Jesus knowing that the reason kung bakit niya pinili yung 12 na ito, because He cared for them. That the reason why He is in the boat with them, because He loved them and cared for them. Knowing that in a few weeks, He will march towards the cross to die for their sins because He cares and loved them. Of course, hindi alam ng disciples yon. So what did Jesus do? This is what Jesus did. Verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Ano nangyari dito? Here's what happened. Ginising ng disciple si Jesus, tumayo si Jesus Christ. At ito ang ginawa niya. David! At ayon sa verse 39, when He commanded the elements, there was complete calmness. Yung ingay at hagupit ng hangin, nawala. At ang malahiganting mga alon ay kumalma. Nung kinuman ni Jesus ang elements, hindi po inabot ng 10 to 15 minutes bago nagkalma yung dagat at huminto yung hangin. It was instantaneous. From the time that He spoke the word, the elements obeyed. There was a great calm on the Sea of Galilee that night, as if there was no storm. Yung word na rebuke na ginamit ni Mark is the same word na ginamit niya twice sa chapter 1:25 at saka sa chapter 3 verse 12 na both ginamit in rebuking evil spirits. Now, we're not saying na yung storm na yon is possessed by a demon, or we're not saying na yung bagyo na yon ay may sariling diwa na nakakarinig at nakakakita, kaya nung kinuman ni Jesus na huminto ay narinig at kaya nag-subside or kumalma. Hindi po. Let's look at yung comments ni John Calvin po dito. Sabi ni John Calvin, "Not that the lake had any perception, but to show that the power of His voice reached the elements which were devoid of feelings." Ano po yung nangyari dito? I'll tell you kung ano nangyari. Isa lang po ng paliwanag po dito. Jesus is Lord over all the elements. Jesus is Lord over nature. He has authority over nature, and by His spoken word, they obey. Does this mean doesn't this remind you of several passages sa scripture? Let me give you two. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. "And God said, let there be light. Instantly, there was light." Hindi na nag-intay ng 10 billion years bago nabuo yung sphere. Ang naging ball of fire. No, it was instant. It was God who commanded the world to existence. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17 tells us that Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God. That in Jesus, all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus, all things hold together. Friends, the winds and the waves obey Jesus because He is the very person who created them. Jesus is Lord over all the elements because Jesus is God. Siguro kung ikaw ang isa sa mga disciples, malamang napasigaw ka siguro sa tuwa, no? Yes! Praise Jesus! Sabi na nga, hindi tayo papabayaan ang ating Jesus eh. Galing eh. Actually, yung inaasahan ko eh. Kitang-kita na talagang tutulungan niya tayo. Pero yun ba yung nangyari? Yung ba'y nangyari? Yung ba'y mga reaction ng mga disciples? Let's look at our last point to see that, which is number 3, a great fear. A great fear. Verse 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Kanina sa kalagitnaan ng bagyo, the disciples rebuked Jesus. Then Jesus rebuked the storms, and then now Jesus rebuked the disciples. Now, bakit ni Jesus nirebuke ang mga disciples? Well, kasi they've been with Jesus for a while now. Na-witness nila kung paano siya miraculously nagpagaling ng lahat ng mga may karamdaman, kasama ang mother-in-law ni Peter. Na-witness nila kung paano ni Jesus pinalayas ang mga masasamang espiritu na nakapoposes sa mga katawan ng mga tao. Clearly, Jesus is Lord over all sickness and spirits. He preaches as one who has authority. Tapos, ngayon, nagduda sila sa kakayanan ni Christ. Nagduda sila sa words ni Jesus. Nagduda sila sa pag-ibig at aruga ni Jesus sa kanila. That's why Jesus rebuked them. Hindi niyo pa ba ako kilala? Hanggang ngayon ba, hindi niyo pa ako kilala? That's when the disciples witnessed this. When the disciples witnessed this, they did not rejoice. They did not sing. They did not jump for joy. They didn't cheer. Good one, Jesus! Yes! And hindi nila binuhat si Jesus sa shoulder na parang isang kampiyon. And from there, sila'y nagsasayaw. Hindi po. Hindi po yun ang response ng mga disciples. Anong response ng mga disciples? Verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Sa Greek New Testament word, ang words na ginamit dito ay megas phobos. Megas from the word mega, which means huge or big or great. And phobos is where we got the word phobia, which means extreme or irrational fear. So, this is the type of fear na naramdaman ng mga disciples. There was great fear. They feared him greatly or were terrified or cowardly fear. Kanina sa kalagitnaan ng bagyo, the disciples, because of their fear sa storm, ask Jesus a question sa 38. Don't you care if we are perishing? Ngayon naman sa verse 41, the disciples ask another question, and this question this time came from their hearts that are terrified. Hearts that are petrified. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey. Kung naalala ng disciples ang Psalm 107 verses 23 to 30 nung time na yon, maunawaan natin siguro kung bakit ganito ang kanilang reaction. Let me read Psalm 107 verse 23 to 30. "Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep, for He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end." Verse 28, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven." Friends, if the disciples know this passage and are reminded of this encounter nila kay Jesus Christ, then they would know that God alone has the power and authority to calm the storms. And what does this make of Jesus? This makes Jesus God. There was great fear in the calm than in the storm. They were awestricken by the very presence and power of a being that is beyond them. A being that is not like them. They were at the presence of a divine. They were filled with reverent awe and horror. Akala nila kilala na nila si Jesus. Pero after ng encounter na ito, na-discover nila na hindi pa pala nila siguro kilala ang mamang ito. Friends, if we in any sense have not been afraid of Jesus, then marahil we never really know Jesus. The world views Jesus through heretical lenses. Maraming mga Jesuses, if you may, sa mundo natin ngayon. There are those who view him as a hippie Jesus. Ang hippie Jesus is yung parang noong time ng 1970s na parang hippie ang itsuro niya sa portrait na cool lang, fun, easy, chill lang lagi. A lot of people like that hippie Jesus. Tapos meron din mga Jesus na pinortray as a superstar, superstar Jesus na kunsan siya magpunta para siyang rockstar na kunsan sikat na sikat. Well, some portray, ito yung medyo famous term, ano, na Jesus as their best friend. Na kunsan body-body nila si Jesus Christ, confident, pwedeng mahingahan ng problema, na tumutulong lagi, nandyan, always to comfort. But one of the craziest things na narinig ko about a description of Jesus is this one. Some said that Jesus is color blue. Blue daw si Jesus. Para daw ang itsura niya is yung genie sa Aladdin that happily grants wishes if you rub him the right way. Heresy. Friends, this was not the type of Jesus that the disciples encountered in the storm. The Jesus that the disciples encountered was more like the one in Isaiah chapter 6, who's sitting on the throne and being worshipped by angels day and night. And in verse 3 ng Isaiah 6, in unison they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the disciples' reactions were more like Isaiah's reaction. So verse 5, sabi ni Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Peter has a similar reaction. So Luke chapter 5 verse 8. After Jesus miraculously filled their fish nets ng limpak-limpak na isda na halos mapunit yung kanilang fish nets. And here comes Peter, who stands there awestricken sa ginawa ni Jesus Christ, kasi alam na alam ni Peter buong magdamag wala silang nahuli ni isang isda. And from there, sa command lang ni Jesus Christ, biglang nag-uumapaw ang kanilang mga bangka. Kailangan pa nilang tumawag ng ibang mga isda para pagtulungan yung mga isdang nahuli. What's going on here? Peter witnessed the impossible. And this is how he responded. So Luke 5:8. He fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Ang sinasabi ni Peter dito, "Layo mo ako. Hindi ako karapat-dapat sa iyo. Marumi ako. I can't relate to your holiness. I can't stand your holiness. I am unworthy to be favored by your greatness." Friends, if we understand that God is holy, there will be a heightened awareness of our sins.
So if you say you know Jesus and you are ignorant of His holiness, if you say you know Jesus and you are living a life of worldliness, then maaaring hindi mo talaga kilala ang Jesus of the Bible. You see, friends, kung patuloy natin paniniwalaan na kaya nating kontrolin ang mga pangyayari sa buhay natin, na we are self-sufficient, then we will only see Jesus as a means to an end. Paniniwalaan na lang natin na si Jesus ang daan upang matupad lahat ng mga pangarap natin sa buhay, upang makamtan natin ng lahat ng mga kagustuhan at kahilingan. But this is not the Jesus of the Bible. This is the Jesus of our sinful hearts. And the Bible says our hearts are wicked and sick. Our sinful hearts ay gusto lagi masunod ang kagustuhan kahit ito ay makamundo at makasalanan. Our hearts are sinful. The Bible calls that sin. We are by nature sinners. We are sinners not because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And we have offended the holiness of God. God's holiness demands justice. That's lahat ng mga kasalanan ay paparusahan ng Diyos ng kamatayan. Kamatayan ng walang hanggan. God's holiness needs to judge sinful people. And friends, that's what we all deserve. This is the only way to satisfy God's wrath over sin. Death. Death. We deserve death. But God, who is rich in mercy and full of grace, sends His Son, Jesus, who lived a life of perfect obedience, lived a life that we could not, and died on the cross that we deserve. Jesus took our place on that sinner's cross in order to pay for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day has resurrected. Friends, I urge you, repent from your sins. Turn away from the sin of an illusion, an idolatry of self-sufficiency, and trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. Sa mga mananampalataya na nandito ngayong oras na ito, let me talk to you. Friends, are you still in awe of God? Are you still amazed sa Panginoon? Ikaw ba ay namumuhay pa rin na may takot sa Kanya? Isa sa dahilan kung bakit nawawala ang awe or amazement natin sa Diyos at sa Kanyang grace, it's because of sin. Sin robs our joy sa Panginoon. Sin weakens our witness. Sin weakens our service. Friends, ano na ang mga kasalanan na ilang beses ka nang kinakausap ng Panginoon paulit-ulit within this week, within these past weeks or months or a year, na madalas mo naririnig sa preaching of God's Word, pinaalalahanan ka. Naririnig mo sa mga kantang inaawit mo. Naririnig mo sa mga counsel sa iyo ng mga anak ng Diyos. Naririnig mo sa devotional mo as the Spirit speaks through the Word to you. Have you surrendered that sin? Tinalikuran mo na ba yan? Have you repented? Pinagsisiyahan mo na yan? Friends, I urge you, talikuran mo na yan. Kill sin before sin kills you. Sabi ni Paul David Tripp, sin has the power to make blind us to the glory of God. Sadly, awe of God is quickly replaced by awe
of you. To end, let me give you a few quick applications on how we can maintain mainit and still in awe sa ating Panginoon. Unang-una, active Bible reading. Read your Bible actively. Ano ibig sabihin yan? This is opposed to passive Bible reading. When you say active Bible reading, you read scriptures, you meditate scriptures, you memorize scriptures, you bring the scripture throughout your day, meditating on it, and see kung paano ito ma-apply sa ating buhay. Read actively yung salita ng Diyos. Second, confess your sins daily. If you say na wala kang kasalanan, sabi sa Bible, then you make God a liar. We must daily confess and repent of our sins. Confess your sins towards one another. You need people. You need the church to fight sin with you. Third, pray daily. It's a way for us to humble ourselves before the Lord. This is how we fight self-sufficiency, by relying on God alone. Sa lahat ng mga decision-makings natin, sa lahat ng mga suliranin natin, pray. Pray with the saints. Ask someone to pray with you. Ask someone to pray for you. Ask someone who you will pray for. Kung ano yung prayer request nila. Fourth, rely on God in all things. Rely on the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust His ways. Trust His word. Trust His promises. Don't be like the disciples who trusted their fears. And number five, link arms with other believers. As you go through this massive storm of life, God has graced you with His word. God has graced you with His spirit. God has graced you with His people. God graced you with His people. Ang tawag po dyan is the church. You need the church in order to live in holiness, righteousness, and purity. You need the church who will remind you, who will encourage you, who will point you to Jesus. You need the church who will cry with you, who will rejoice with you, who will guide you, who will rebuke you, who will correct you, who will walk with you until Jesus comes. You are never alone. You are never alone. Hindi ko alam kung ano yung fears ninyo ngayon. I don't know kung anong klaseng bagyo ang kinaharap mo ngayon, kung gaano kalakas ito. But one thing that we need to understand, kung ikaw ay anak ng Diyos, this is one promise that you need to remember, that Jesus is Lord over all. He's Lord over all the elements. He's Lord over all evil spirits. He's Lord over all sickness. He's Lord over all your situations right now. He's Lord over all COVID-19. He's Lord over all your financial challenges. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord over all. He has authority over all. He is completely worthy of our trust. Let us pray. Father, as the song says, teach us to trust in You with all of our hearts. Lean not to our own understanding. Will You please, Father, guide us sa mga confusing times na ito na aming buhay, where it is dark and it is loud and it's life-threatening. Will You remind us that we can sleep in the midst of the storm. We can rest in the midst of the storm, knowing that You are our rest, that You are our hope, that You are our joy, that You are our prized treasure. I pray that You sariwain niyo ang aming puso't isipan. Sariwain niyo po ang aming
kaluluwa tuwing kami po ay nanganganib na mapalayo sa inyo.
Father, help us as a church to persevere in faith.
Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Jesus. Amen.